Hi, and welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. I'm your teacher, Josh, and it's the 2nd of November, 2016. And we're glad you've joined us for day 2 of our speed review, entitled, How to Have a Good Day. Learn how to have the best and most productive day possible. We're on pages 10 and 11 in your Advanced magazine. If you haven't picked one up, we encourage you to do so. And we'll do a quick review of yesterday's lesson if you didn't join us then. And I've got the same panelists here in the studio with me. I have the old guard, Joanna and Katie. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Are you enjoying your trip here in Taipei?
Loving it. I'm kind of sad to go back to Texas.
What has been the best thing you've eaten so far in your return visit?
Din Tai Fung.
Oh, yeah.
Soup dumplings from Din Tai Fung.
Din Tai Fung.
Can't get that in Texas.
No, you cannot.
We'll be going back again.
Yes.
Maybe twice.
Oh, yeah. No, I think there's nothing wrong with two visits to DTF and your week-long trip to Taiwan.
You gotta pack it in while you have a chance.
And what's the thing you most have enjoyed doing here back in Taipei?
I've really just, like, walking around, just seeing the city. We went on a bike ride yesterday, and it was so nice to just see the river and the mountains and just enjoy just being in the city.
Mm-hmm. It was nice to do the things that we used to do in our daily lives, like just get to live that again. And I know we both want to do some hiking this weekend, so that'll be wonderful.
Well, you're smart to come in November when it's not so hot. And we've got our new panelists as well, Josh and Pauline. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Did you enjoy your first advanced radio classroom yesterday?
We did. We were nervous, but we're happy to have our first one under our belt, so to speak.
And we were glad to be able to have a good day.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Did you put any of these tricks into play that we discussed yesterday? Yesterday we didn't really get into the tips. That's what we're going to get more into today. The building blocks, she calls it, of how to have a good day. Yesterday we talked mostly about kind of the basis for her research, right?
Yes. We learned some very interesting ways in which our minds work, things that you might not expect, like the two-system brain, the mind-body loop, and the discover-defend axis.
You said you were familiar with the mind-body loop, Joe.
Yes, that's the idea that your mind affects your body and your body affects your mind. The two aren't separate. If you have a positive outlook, it will affect your health positively, and vice versa. If you have a negative thought process, you may find yourself not feeling very well.
And what about the two-system brain?
Well, the two-system brain is the idea that we have a subconscious and a conscious part of our brain that's actively affecting our lives constantly. The instinctive, that automatic system, is the one that will make us, say, jump back from something hot that's burning, or just is that reactionary part of our brains. And then there's the conscious side that is more deliberate and intentional.
And then the discover defend access just says that at all times we're either kind of protecting ourselves, looking out for things that could harm us, while on the other side, we're seeking rewarding experiences. Which one do you do more of, Katie?
You mean out of all three of these?
No, of the discover defend axis.
Oh, well, I think I like what Joe said yesterday. It's important to keep a defensive outlook, like when she said traveling. But overall in my life, I try to be more discovery than defensive.
I just thought of the word, maybe someone who has no clue about them being in danger. We say they're oblivious, right? That can be dangerous, right, Josh?
It can be very dangerous, especially when it's somebody who loves that you want to take care of.
Yeah, you got to be aware of your surroundings. Keep an eye on things. I mean, I've just always been a curious person, so I always seem to notice people and things that are happening around me. My wife is not that way at all. She could walk right by a childhood friend on the street and not even notice, because she's focused on her to-do list, usually, what she's got to do in her head, and not what's around her. How about you, Pauline? How do you find yourself along that axis?
Oh, I'm definitely more of the discover speaking out. I'm very easily distracted. I get excited about things. Even on the way to the studio today, I got excited about a fruit market that had some fruits I've never seen before, and Josh had to remind me that we needed to be here on time. So I am definitely the discovery side.
You guys sound like a good pair.
We're a pretty good team. Actually, Josh, you and I may have a few more things in common than just our names, because my wife can also be a little bit oblivious to certain aspects of life. So I can be there in order to help remind her and help maybe be her balance on the discover side.
Very good. Well, we're going to move over to page 11 now and talk about these 7 building blocks to having a good day. And we're going to divide up our lesson into 3 readings. So why don't we start now where you see the 2.
Building blocks. Having laid the scientific groundwork, Webb then covers her 7 building blocks of a good day. Priorities. Setting the intentional direction of the day. Productivity. Making the most of the hours of the day. Relationships. Having positive, productive interactions. Thinking. Making wise choices, being creative and smart. Influence. Maximizing the impact of what we say and do. Resilience. Overcoming setbacks and annoyances. Energy. Boosting enthusiasm and enjoyment.
So we start this section of our lesson on page 11 with, she says she's laid the scientific groundwork, and now our author is covering the 7 building blocks to having a good day. What are building blocks, Josh?
It always makes me think of the little toys, the little Legos, the little sort of components that you put together, sort of the basic elements that allow you to build something else.
That's right, the foundation of something. Good, basic elements. I like that. And what's the first one, Joanna?
Well, the first one is priorities, setting the intentional direction of the day.
Priorities, meaning what's important? What things are you going to focus on that day? I like, she says, setting the direction of your day. I feel like you're charting a course on a ship or something.
Exactly. You may have a very long to-do list, but probably only some of that list absolutely has to be done today. Those are your priorities.
I know you've worked remotely a lot in your life, right?
I've tried, yes.
So not in an office where you've had a boss breathing down your neck.
Yes.
Is that now important then for you to kind of self-motivate and set your own priorities?
Yes. If you want to work from home or work remotely, it's very important that you have good self-management, time management skills. You can't just sit on your computer and use Facebook all day long. You're actually being paid to manage your own schedule and turn things in on time even when no one is there to tell you to do it.
Was that a skill that just came naturally, or did you have to learn it over time?
I've learned it over a very long time. So it takes some practice. It doesn't come naturally to me, but I've been in a lot of situations in my life in which there was no one telling me what to do, but I knew I needed to do it anyways. So it's something that you can improve.
What is our second building block?
The next one is productivity, which we talked about a little bit yesterday, but that's making the most of the hours of the day. And that just means you're getting things done, you're accomplishing things.
Do you give some thought to whether you've had a productive day or not, Pauline?
Definitely. I notice, again, with that mind-body loop, there are times when I will be in kind of a bad mood or irritable, and I'll tell myself I need to be productive because I know by being productive, that will put me in a better mental space. I notice very clearly that the more I'm able to get done and feel good about what I've accomplished today, that can affect my emotions, and I can turn it around to the point where I feel like I've had a good day because of that.
Most of my days in my work are spent in meetings and responding to emails. So if I just focused on how many meetings I was in that day, it can be depressing if I link that to productivity, because so many meetings are just wasted time. So usually I have to base it on how many emails I addressed and got back to people on and made decisions on. And I usually gauge that by how many are still left in my inbox. Can you guess what number I try to reach for to keep it down to?
I'm going, without knowing about your work or your email or your inbox at all, I'm going to hazard a guess. You try to keep the number under 100.
Oh, wow. Thank you. No, I try to keep it under 50.
Okay.
Yes. So as long as that inbox is under 50 of things I still need to address, I'm feeling good. But yes, if I go home and it's still at 80 or 90, I am stressed out or just feeling like I wasn't productive enough. How about you, Josh? Do you have a sense at the end of the day of, oh, I really got a lot done today, or, boy, I wish I was more productive?
I've worked in a lot of different fields, from construction to office work to guest services. And at the end of the day, regardless of what kind of job I'm having, if I can look back on the day and go, I got this done, I got that done, it makes me feel good inside.
Construction, that you could just look up, right, and say, boy, we made a ton of progress today.
Just as long as that progress goes exactly the way you wanted it to, and there isn't some corner, some place that you know is maybe a little bit off and not the way that you wanted it to be. Because no matter how complete the job is, that little flaw or failure will always bug you.
You sound like a perfectionist.
I am a perfectionist. In some regards, very much a perfectionist.
Well, we got priorities and productivity. I was hoping it was going to be an alliteration, Joe, and just they were all going to be P's.
Oh, they couldn't manage it. The next one is relationships, having positive, productive interactions.
Very important building block to a happy day, right?
Definitely. I think, you know, one thing that this makes me think of is, you know, at your job, you spend 75% of your day with your coworkers and everything, and maybe what she's saying here is it's important to have a good, positive relationship with the people that you work with every day and interacting with them well and being friends with them and just getting along. That can really impact you having a good day.
That was a very American take on things, though. You said 75% of your work day with coworkers. In Asia, it's more like 95%. Of your time spent with coworkers, because their work days are so long here. Not a studio classroom, thankfully.
No.
But you and I have worked outside studio classroom. And man, the work ethic here is incredible, Josh.
I can believe it. It sounds like there are many other perfectionists out there.
And the next one is thinking. Your mindset on the choices you're making and trying to be creative and smart. That is a good goal to set for yourself, right? Being creative, making some creative decisions during the day, not just answering emails all day. But what is that outlet for you to be creative? Is that something you can make an appointment to do during the day?
I think that depends a lot on the type of work you do, but you can always apply some sort of creativity or problem solving to whatever type of work you do. For me, it might be writing or editing or uploading something to a website. Okay, this isn't working the way I want it to. How can I make this happen? Or for someone else with a different type of job, it may be something else. But you always feel proud of yourself when you solve a problem. That can really turn my day around. When I had a big problem and I thought it through and I found a creative solution, I feel proud of myself.
Why do you think making wise choices will make us happy?
Well, because usually when you make a wise choice, it's a good choice. So that means you made a good decision that could have kept you from getting into trouble or doing something wrong at your job. So whenever a wise choice is made, I think it's always better.
So we've talked about priorities being important, your productivity, the people around you, your own thinking. What's the next one, Josh?
The next one is influence, maximizing the impact of what we say and do.
I thought this was one that maybe we don't give much thought to, right? When you start your day, about who can you have influence on? I don't think that's on anyone's to-do list, do you?
Not really. And also, influence is a trait that comes very naturally to some people and not naturally at all to other people. That's not something that you can maybe study from a book and apply right away. It's something different. It's another characteristic that's important, but doesn't maybe come naturally to everyone.
I think when I think of this, I think about encouragement, right? That is something you could strive to do more of in your life, right?
That's right. I mean, encouragement, giving a compliment to someone, just, you know, telling them to have a nice day and mean it or anything like that, it makes the other person feel better. And I think in return, it can really, you know, give you some happy feelings as well.
Are you a natural encourager, Pauline?
Yes.
Well, that's good, great.
I am. I love to encourage other people. I'm very verbal, so verbally encouraging is one of my strengths. I would say, as opposed for Josh, who's also verbal, but he would be more of like an action encourager to go alongside and see where there's a need and help. And I think that's another form of influencing is helping or teaching and training. So that's another side that he really does well.
Very cool. The next one is resilience, or the act of being resilient. And this just talks about bouncing back from things that maybe are negative in your life, right?
Yeah, and I think that that is a great building block to have in this list. You know, in our day-to-day life, there's a lot of things going on, and there are a lot of setbacks, which means a problem that may come up, and annoyances, things that just can kind of get on your nerves or they're annoying, and it's easy to get bogged down in those sometimes. But if you're resilient, you can get past them and find the positive despite all of it.
Do you remember your first few months in Taipei, Joe?
Oh, I do.
There's definitely things that can discourage you, right?
There are so many things, cultural barriers, language barriers, when you realize you said something completely different in Mandarin than you thought you were going to say. When you thought you wrote a good article, but then it came back all in red because the editor wanted to make some changes. Just, it can really drag you down if you don't just give yourself some grace and just say, you know what, I'm still learning. I'm still a student. I'm still adjusting. It'll be okay. Do better next time.
I know you guys are a couple months into your experience here, but it really is textbook, the roller coaster of emotions that people have here. They call it the honeymoon phase at first, and then everything that was so different just starts to annoy you like crazy, and you really end up hating this place after 2 or 3 months. And then somehow you stick with it, and it gets better and better and better, and then you love it, right?
So true.
That absolutely happened. I think what helped was I went home for a visit back to Texas 6 months after I moved to Taipei, came back, and was just, I was okay with everything, and for the next 2.5 years, it was perfect.
So, be ready for that. Hopefully you're still in the honeymoon stage, Josh and Pauline.
I think we've got a little more time in the honeymoon phase, hopefully.
But it's natural for it to turn. So hopefully you can be resilient and overcome those annoyances. What's the last building block in our list, Joe?
Energy, boosting enthusiasm and enjoyment. I'm going to be honest and say this is really hard for me before 11 a.m. This is just not come naturally to me at all until much later in the morning. I do not arrive full of energy.
I thought this one might be the most controversial on a list. I would say I don't think people have to necessarily have tons of energy to be happy, do they, or to be having a good day?
Well, to me, this is one of my favorites on the list. I kind of read it as that old saying, like, enjoy the small things. I read it as, you know, you may not have a day where something big and monumental happens to you all the time, and so it's more about finding enjoyment in those little things that happen day to day.
That's a good way to look at it. Not so focused on necessarily bounding around your office and talking to everyone in their cubicles.
Yeah, just being delighted by, I don't know, a hot cup of coffee if you need it, and just the little things that make you happy.
Do you have energy naturally, Josh, or do you have to work at it?
I have to work at it sometimes. I think I'm the type of person who is a little bit deliberate about making good choices to put myself in a good position. So making I drink enough water, for example, or have that cup of coffee when I know I'm going to need it. But I would say that I really do enjoy having a lot of energy, so I do whatever I can in order to make sure that I do.
Well, why don't we get going in the next section of our article with our second reading.
Webb offers clear guidelines for each of the building blocks. Thus, for example, The section of the book on productivity includes chapters on single tasking, planning deliberate downtime, overcoming overload, and beating procrastination. The chapters related to influence cover getting through filters, making things happen, and conveying confidence. Throughout the book, Webb carefully links the science introduced at the beginning to her directives. Downtime increases productivity. For example, not only because a brain needs to rest, but also because neuroscientists have discovered that the subconscious brain keeps working even when the conscious brain is at rest.
So we get some clear guidelines in this next section here, talking about productivity and some specifics that our author gets into, including chapters on single tasking. I've heard of multitasking, but this is the opposite, I guess.
Must be. Multitasking is to do several things at the same time. But single tasking, you don't hear that word quite as often, means just doing one thing. Focus on the thing that's right in front of you. Don't try to spread your attention. Just focus on the one thing and do it right. Do it well.
Not an easy task in these days of cell phones and multiple screens and two monitors up in front of you while you work, right? Going on the list, it says deliberate downtime. I like this one, this idea of planning some rest.
Yeah, I definitely love this too. Like Josh just said, downtime is resting. And when you're being deliberate about it, you're making a choice to plan downtime into your day just to take some time off to unwind.
Is this something you do, Pauline?
I probably could do more of it. I really liked that she links it with productivity, which is not, I think, a natural link that you would make. You would think if you're planning downtime, you're planning a time when you're not going to be productive, that it's taking away from productivity. But her point is that giving your body and your mind some downtime may actually increase your ability to be productive throughout the rest of the day. And I like putting that together for myself.
She also has chapters on overcoming overload, making sure there just isn't too much coming at you at once or too many things on your list, and then beating procrastination.
Procrastination, that is to put something off. Instead of doing it now, say, oh, I'll do that later. I'll do that later today. I'll do that tomorrow. Just no, don't procrastinate. Do it now.
A habit lots of us have, right? Especially that thing that you don't want to do.
Like the big annoying task at work, it's easy to procrastinate sometimes. Or you students out there, maybe you put off your homework for a few days.
Hopefully you don't put off reading Studio Classroom Magazine. Well, it says the chapters related to influence cover getting through filters, making things happen, and conveying confidence. Do you think these are important ways to have a happy day?
Yes. When I read conveying confidence, it made me think of a phrase we say sometimes, fake it till you make it.
Good one.
That just means if you don't know what you're doing, if you're a little lost, fake it. Just be confident and pretend you do until you learn how.
Kind of like Josh and Pauline are doing right now.
Exactly what we're doing right now.
Your second day on the Advanced Class Radio program, you're doing great.
Thanks.
Well, we conclude this section by talking about careful links to science that she introduced at the beginning. And so she's got some evidence backing up these claims that she's making. And one example is the downtime increases productivity because, as she says, your brain needs to rest. But that scientists have discovered the subconscious brain keeps working while you're resting.
That's right, and this is kind of what Pauline mentioned a few minutes ago, but what it makes me think of is that sometimes whenever you're really busy, you can stress yourself out over a problem, an issue that you can't work out, and taking some downtime to not think, your brain, while you don't realize it, is still kind of working over things. So some downtime could help you solve a problem.
Why don't we conclude our lesson with our final reading?
In the relationships section, Webb discusses the concept of fundamental attribution error, which causes us to attribute dysfunctional behavior to character. He's a jerk, rather than circumstance. he feels he is being treated poorly. Webb offers an exhaustive list of defense mode triggers related to social needs. For example, respect or individual needs. For example, competence that might explain a person's dysfunctional behavior. The mind-body loop also leads to effective actions that help to ensure a good day. For example, pausing or stepping back and taking deep breaths can help clear one's head to be more productive, avoid the escalation of an argument that can damage a relationship, and even build up resilience. There are always going to be bad days and circumstances beyond our control. Nevertheless, how to have a good day is a comprehensive manual for how to control our minds and bodies, thus ensuring that we have the best day we can possibly have.
So in this final section of our lesson, Webb discusses some interesting concepts, including the fundamental attribution error. I thought this was really interesting. This idea of putting blame on dysfunctional behavior of the people around us because we think that's who they are, rather than maybe the tough situations they might be facing.
That's very true. You never know what someone is going through outside of work. You don't know their lives. You don't know whether someone has an illness, someone just died in their family, maybe they're having some trouble in their relationships at home. You just don't know. You can't assume that someone is just a bad person. And when you try to understand, it makes your relationship better with them.
Very good. It also says the mind-body loop can lead to effective actions. So things like taking deep breaths, keeping arguments from escalating, and maybe even building up resilience. Those are ways that you can have a great day. Because we can't control all the things in our life, right? So let's focus on the things we can control and keep these tips in mind in how to have a good day. So we hope you've enjoyed our speed review through this very interesting book. And we hope you come back again for our next lesson, a brand new lesson in the advanced class. Until then, goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.